was implemented. So what that was a complete overhaul of legislation. So permitting reform, so they redesigned the whole entire permitting structure of how you bring a mine into production, and all the other legislation around mining. So really, the whole idea behind the Wisconsin Mining for America Act was to reopen the state and try and attract companies to come back there and start exploring, because this is a prolific VMS belt. One of the best, in my opinion, one of the best in North America. And so now we enter 2026, and we have 7,000 meters planned for the next phase, which will go from the beginning of February up until around middle of April. We're gonna have two drills on site. That's really focused on continuing to step out, continuing to go down plunge, as well as a little bit of infill, especially underneath that result that I just told you, that 23 meters.
Matt Philgate, Greenlight Metals, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Andy. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. To all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor in Greenlight Metals. I haven't been an investor since this fall of 25, and I'm looking, more than likely, we'll be adding more in, just full disclosure. Also, just recently, Greenlight Metals has become a sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. Matt, this year is setting up really well for you guys, I think, as well as just really the markets. We have gold and silver on a tear. Copper came on a tear, followed, if you would, towards the end of the year. Just talk about that in general here. How are you looking to see 26 shape up in the metals markets here?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll speak specifically to the United States. You know, we're seeing a lot of stuff happening politically. You know, whether it's tensions with China, what we just saw in Venezuela. So there's a lot of political movement going on. Copper has reacted fairly well. You know, the U.S. has made it very clear that they're committed to domestic production, domestic supply when it comes to copper and other critical metals. And so, you know, 2026 is shaping up to be a pretty exciting year. And, you know, our focus as a company is to grow our high grade copper asset in the US, make it more visible on a federal level, and really start to push it towards economic studies and a resource.
Yeah, let me push on that a little bit. So copper's ran, and then it recently got added. Well, I don't know exactly when, but it was in 25, yeah. Got to the critical.
Yeah. A couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah, that must be why. I know the answer, but I want you to come on that and just really talk about the need for copper and the potential shortages that are global.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a few big copper mines come off of production, which, you know, obviously has a ripple effect through the copper market. If we look at the US specifically, there's very few large copper mines in production. There's a few in Arizona and Nevada, but outside of that, the rest of the US there's very few. We have some very big in-situ copper deposits that are not being mined. They've mostly been tied up in red tape. Stripping back that red tape and streamlining that permitting process. And so when investors are looking at copper, specifically in the U.S., they need to be looking for high quality, good grades in jurisdictions that can move forward. And with this administration, that what we're seeing right now is a streamlined process for that to happen. What's exciting, and there's some news just released recently, the U.S. is looking at putting in a smelter, partially funded by the federal government, that will allow a little bit less reliance on China. So not having to ship all of our, you know, materials over to China or India or some of these other smelting nations. And so we can actually start doing that in the U.S. And so that'll help also bring some of these projects online. Our goal as a company is to really build out our Bend asset, advance that very quickly over the next year and a half to make that project attractive from an economic standpoint, to be able to bring it into production and start to backfill that copper demand that's needed. Obviously, you know, infrastructural build is a big use of copper, but with the AI boom, so some of these large data centers that we're seeing, that transfer of data, that increase in infrastructure that's needed to supply for that is significant. And then on the other side of it, it's the electrification. So getting away from fossil fuels and looking at EV charging stations, right? If we're going to drive EVs, we need to be able to charge them. And that infrastructure is just not in place. And that's always been an issue in the EV space. So these upgrades need to happen. And so the demand for copper versus the supply, right? Basic economics, that curve is spreading. And so somebody has to backfill that supply. And so that's what we're focused on as a company is getting high quality, high grade assets, advancing them very quickly to meet that supply.
Okay, got it. And you talked about the Bend project. And I know the answer to this, but I want you to answer it anyways. Where exactly is that?
Yeah, so the Bend project sits in central Wisconsin.
Okay, let
It's
me
at the end.
stop you. Let me stop you. To all my viewers and listeners, that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me. The very first time I met Matt last fall is in Wisconsin. My question to you is, how the heck does anybody mine in Wisconsin? And then you filled me in, but go ahead.
So Wisconsin's an interesting state. It has what's called the Pinocchian Volcanic Belt. So it's a greenstone volcanic belt, Archean in age, so very old. Same architecture as Flin Flon, Snow Lake, Noranda. So all these prolific, copper producing belts up in Canada, it just comes dips down over the border into Wisconsin. And a lot of exploration was done there from the 60s all the way to the 90s, mid 90s. Rio Tinto had a mine in production, the Flambeau mine. That was a high grade copper VMS deposit. It was averaging around 7% copper and 5.5 grams gold. So there has been active mining in the past. In 1997, there was a mining moratorium that was implemented. That was mainly driven by the Democratic government at the time. Mining wasn't looked at in favor. This is a time when energy was, mainly supplied by oil and gas. So there was no discussion around critical metals and when you talk about fossil fuels and these things, that just wasn't a discussion. So mining was not looked at favorably at that time. 2017, the Wisconsin Mining for America Act was implemented. So what that was a complete overhaul of legislation. So permitting reform. So they redesigned the whole entire permitting structure of how you bring a mine into production, and all the other legislation around mining. So really, the whole idea behind the Wisconsin Mining for America Act was to reopen the state and try and attract companies to come back there and start exploring because this is a prolific VMS belt, one of the best in my opinion, one of the best in North America, but it just has not seen the amount of exploration required for there to be multiple deposits that go into production in it. So we have this first mover advantage as a company. We're able to come in there, handpick the best assets that were available in the States, the ones that we thought had the best chance of growing quickly into an economic resource. And then we were able to get those permitted to start drilling. And so that infrastructure is all in place now in Wisconsin, very similar to a neighboring state over in Michigan, which now has multiple mines in production. And you're seeing Copperwood get grants from the Michigan state government, and attracting some big investment, like from Kinterra and some other groups like that. So Wisconsin's following in those footsteps, and we're really the trailblazers, starting to drive that industry forward there. We're just lucky enough to be the first ones to enter the state.
Got it. So we'll talk about drilling here, what you got for drilling here and through really the year. But talk to me first about how's the state been receptive to you, and are they motivated really to get things done and to help you?
Certainly. Yeah, and at a government level, we're seeing very strong support. It might help that, we're one of the few companies actively exploring there. So we do get full attention from them. But if we decide to increase drill meterage in a permit, we found it very efficient working with the Department of Natural Resources and the Forest Service. And then from a community standpoint, Medford would be the closest town. It's about 19 miles away from our project. It's a smaller town. The people there are great. We've had a lot of sit down community hall meetings, barbecues, community barbecues, and we've seen a lot of support, a lot of interest from the community. Of course, the biggest concern is always water quality. How are we protecting the environment while we explore? So that's always top of mind for Greenlight. And I think the transparency that we presented to the communities and the government has been very well received in the state. So look, we understand there's a burden on our shoulders being the first to come back. And so we're doing everything 120% above board to make sure that we build the trust of the communities, we build the trust of our regulators as we move forward, to show that we're here to operate in a responsible manner. The environment is top of mind. And you know, we really understand that these critical metals are going to be in demand. They're needed from a market standpoint. And these create jobs, long-term jobs in communities, and really help bolster the local economy. So we're very excited to be presenting this now to towns like Medford, who are you know, have, mainly rely on dairy and don't have many other industries that, you know, that are available to them. So very exciting, and we think that this is a huge opportunity for the Upper Midwest.
Okay, talk a little bit about, if that you can, before we go into drilling, what you got plans, but talk about, or what do you think that you can comment on that you have here as far as what do you got?
Yeah, sure. So the Bend project has a historic resource on it of 4.5 million tons at grades 1.8% copper and 2.3 grams per ton gold. So very
Woo.
high grade, kind of pushing towards that 5% copper equivalent with current prices,
Okay.
which these types of deposits are very rare,
Yeah.
especially you know, south of Alaska. You know, we have a belt in Arizona, we have a belt in New Mexico, and we have a belt out in Maine. Really, there's very few of these VMS belts. And when we see companies be successful in these belts, they get a good premium on market because it is such high quality, high grade material. So we're very excited with the base resource, that historic resource, and we have all that drill core, we have all that data, so we can bring that into compliance in a future resource. But the program that we just ran at the end of last year was focused on stepping down along strike and down dip of that historic resource to see, does this body continue and can we make it bigger? Because 4.5 million tons, a great resource, very high grade, probably won't cut it. It's probably not worth going through the entire process to turn it into a mine. But something that's 10 million plus tons is worth it. And so we wanted to know as a company, and we
That's
had,
still a
you know,
lot, 4.5, but go ahead.
But we're thinking, we want to think big here. We want to, you know, 12 to 15 year mine life. So, but looking at the historic data and the modeling, it was pretty clear that this thing didn't just shut off, that there was more, and it was plunging at about 40 degrees down. So we stepped out around 150 meters, intersected some incredible results, which we put out to market. Unfortunately, the best result we put out was on one of the worst days of 2025 in the market, where gold was down $250 an ounce and everyone started panicking and selling. So it got a little bit lost in the noise, but you know, it was 23 meters at around over 5% copper equivalent. So about 3 grams gold and 2% copper. So this is a 150 meter step out from that 4.5 million tons. So this thing's very continuous. It continues down plunge. And the last drill cycle in 2025 showed that. And so now we enter 2026 and we have 7,000 meters planned for the next phase, which will go from the beginning of February up until around middle of April. We're going to have two drills on site. That's really focused on continuing to step out, continuing to go down plunge, as well as a little bit of infill, especially underneath that result that I just told you, that 23 meters. So we're very excited about the growth potential. We want to see this thing go 10 million tons plus. And right now it's only drilled to around 200 meters depth. So wide open, you know, it could continue down deep. If we look at Kidd Creek or some of these prolific VMS deposits that the world knows, they go down kilometers. So we're really scratching the surface on this, but it's very thick, it's very high grade. And so we see the additional tonnage coming very quickly with limited drilling.
Oh, I was going to comment on that. It's very shallow what you've drilled or what you've seen so far.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Why?
Well, it comes right to surface. So it like it you know,
I'm
there's
laughing, not
30
I'm not laughing at you, but
Yeah,
wow.
no, so there's about 30 meters of glacial material on top. It's a vertically dipping massive sulfide sheet that ranges anywhere from 20 to 45 meters thick, true thickness. So it's dipping at about 80 degrees, and so it comes right to surface underneath the glacial material. And then where we're drilling along strike, it starts to plunge at about 30 degrees like this. So it gets a little bit deeper down plunge. And so some of the drilling that we'll be doing, you know, there'll be a few holes that are 350, 400 meters deep. But you know, basically daylight's right up at surface.
Okay. So, you're going to have a lot news be dripping or flowing really through the next quarter. What would you say? I mean, a lot of news coming.
So I mean, we'll hopefully launch drilling here in early February, and then you'll see results about a month and a bit after that, and continued results kind of through the spring into early summer. We'll take a bit of a break in the middle there as we let the ground thaw. So we're looking at about a month and a half to let things kind of dry up. We'll kick off again in June, and then we'll continue to drill through to the rest of the year. Ultimately, our goal is that we can get a maiden resource out by the end of 2026, early 2027. Part of what we're doing right now before the drills come on site is we have a team out there re-logging all the historic core, building out that geological model, doing resampling, all the stuff that we need to bring that historic core into compliance for a resource. So we're getting all that kind of early work done now and out of the way so that as we drill through 2026, we'll be able to update that geological model and then eventually hand it off to a third party to start building out the resource.
Got it. So I asked you this last December, but I'll ask it again. What's your current market cap? How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted, and how much cash do you have in the bank?
Yeah, so we have our market cap right now is 35 million Canadian. We have 99 million shares outstanding right now, and right now, as of today, I think we're around 11.5 million in the bank.
So very well funded. Is that funded through the rest of 26?
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, with
Super.
I think at the end of 2026, we're left over with around close to 3 million in our budget, so we have 3 million in the bank by the end of 2026.
You guys are just recently listed in the US as of today, Monday, January 12th, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Look, this is a huge catalyst for us. Obviously, having U.S. assets and being focused down in the U.S., that's where we get a lot of eyeballs, and that's really where we're going to be focusing a lot of our marketing in 2026. So this is a big development. Greenlight is now listed on the OTCQB under the symbol GRLMF. So very, very exciting. And we look to drive liquidity on that OTC listing. And just bring in a lot of new US-based shareholders who are passionate about producing copper in the United States.
You know, about that, I had a comment on the last interview that we did from a listener viewer from Wisconsin.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah, they're like, wow, this is really neat. And they actually implied that they wanted to pick some up. So
Yeah, very cool.
fantastic. Also, shout out to Atlanta, all the my listeners and viewers and friends in Atlanta. You want to be coming down to Atlanta hopefully sometime this spring, correct?
Yeah, look, yeah, we're lining up a lot of US marketing. So I'll be all over the West Coast. I'll be in Dallas. I'll be in Florida. But Atlanta is a place where I love to go. I've been there a few times. I've always found a very receptive, interested crowd. So we will be lining up some marketing down in Atlanta, hopefully kind of mid to late February.
Okay, excellent. All right, thank you so much, Matt. I'll give you your website and again give your ticker symbols both on the TSX as well as the OTC again.
So it's greenlightmetals.com is our website. We update that actively with new corporate presentations. We're listed on the TSX Venture under GRL.V. And now, as of today, we're listed on the OTC QB under GRLMF. So
Got it.
very, very, very thankful to be on the show again, Andy. And I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a good viewership here, and so excited to get this interview out.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.